to America tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. What a week this will be. As you can tell, we are gearing up for a couple of things. The Ukraine, will we ever still find that plane? Malaysia Flight 370, as a 777 now has disappeared for 46 days. Sad news from Korea. More ferry crew members have been detained, but the death toll is up to 64. Well over 200 still missing. Parents wailing by the water as they find more and more bodies. Very, very solemn Easter for the hometown of those missing students, and just puzzling what has happened there with the confusion and the indecision over evacuating a ferry. Never, ever, ever be indecisive. Make the move and go for it. And, of course, that's not what happened at all. The captain not handling his duties on the ship. He doesn't understand why he was arrested. And the president of South Korea furious at what has happened here, and he should be, saying they're going to throw the book at them South Korea style, so to speak. Besides that, you also have these attacks, these drone attacks that have happened over the weekend in Yemen. It involved maybe 30 potentially high-value Al-Qaeda strikes. A lot of drone strikes throughout the weekend in the Arabian Peninsula. People who have been on the radar for a while, some of the most wanted terrorists, they say it's unprecedented what's happened, how far they've gone with this, just trying to wipe them out. And they did them right before dawn, hitting a mountain ridge in one of the southern regions, the same place where scores of followers of Al-Qaeda had gathered to hear the head of the terrorist network, a guy called the Crown Prince, speak. So they don't know for sure. They're trying to sort all that out at this point, but they believe 30 militants have been killed because they destroyed the training facility completely and feel as though they killed a lot of the people that they were trying to target with these drone strikes. But the area is tough because it's rugged, it's mountainous, and the troops, the Yemeni troops, would have had a tough time trying to gain any ground there in an assault, so they went to the air, and the Al-Qaeda folks fled to that place a couple of years ago when they were pushed back by the Yemeni troops. And this was a very, very big move. They say it's going to take some time to clarify the details of the weekend strikes, what happened with the raided targeted camps, were any of the jeeps or any other vehicles on the move, what was the full death toll, were there any civilian casualties, that kind of stuff. And they aren't talking very much to the media about it other than to say for sure it happened. And there were a lot of strikes, and there was a lot of reconnaissance that went into this. And at this point now, there's been somewhere between the strikes overall in Yemen since 2002, and then picking it up again in 2009, have killed close to 1,000 people, including 81 civilians, which, of course, the casualties, the collateral damage always upsets everybody, but this time they think that there wasn't much collateral damage, but that remains to be seen, I guess, certainly at this point. Some other things that happened over the weekend, maybe while you were taking a break from the rest of the world, just enjoying family or just chilling for a while. There's been more violence in the Ukraine. That's not a surprise. There were some people shot at a security checkpoint by some pro-Russian protesters just opening fire. And this situation just keeps getting worse and worse. But yet nothing is happening on the Putin front. So in Congress, before everybody skedaddled, there was a bipartisan call, really, in one of the committees for much tougher sanctions hitting their banking area and also hitting some of their resources, knowing this would be much more crippling if they could do that. But as long as they keep cranking up the violence in the Ukraine, it makes it tough and there's more Russian boots on the ground. Let's see ultimately what the United States decides to do here. And, of course, the Boston Marathon getting set to get underway. A lot of people excited to be back there and celebrate the people of Boston after the horrific events of last year, 3 people killed and 260 injured, some missing limbs, and now learning to walk without them or being fitted for a prosthetic leg or arm, or in one case, a couple cases actually, both legs. But a lot of those people were there celebrating Boston and celebrating the marathon over the weekend. And there was even what they do on Easter, or this time around anyway, marathon runners were blessed at a very emotional church service celebrating the holiday, but remembering the victims. There's heightened security along the route. A lot of bag checks. No bags aren't allowed at the close to the marathon. A lot of people showing up and have spent the weekend in Boston. A lot of people are running this time around, and the people who were halfway through that race and couldn't finish it were invited to come back. So you have those people, along with maybe some new faces, too, as well. And I think this marathon is going to be pretty interesting, because you're going to have a lot of interesting stories that come out of it as to who ran for the first time, who got to go back and run, and how did they finish, and how did they feel. It's just going to be, I think, really one wild celebration, and good for all those people. And let's see what happens and who wins this race and what the times are, because it is still one of these historic races, and no matter what, that's always a big part of the Boston Marathon. The fact that it was run in the 1800s has been around for a very, very long time. The history and making it one of the top 6 marathons in the world draws a lot of world-class runners. A lot of the elite come to race in the Boston Marathon, and you get all kinds of people, and you get all kinds of people cheering, and I don't think that's going to change. I think that just intensifies, probably, if anything else. And just because it is baseball season, and a lot of people actually took Easter Sunday, and after they had their ham and went to church, did all that kind of stuff, they went to the ball game. What is more American than going to the ball game? Yasiel Puig, who escaped some unbelievable conditions in Cuba, did something pretty incredible today. Take a listen to what this sounded like from the Dodgers.
Puig, line drive, left center field, that's well hit. It's way back, and it is gone, a home run! Dare you walk Adrian Gonzalez in front of me? Puig, a 3-run shot, and the Dodgers take a 4-0 lead.
Charlie Steiner with the call. How about that? 4-1, they beat the D-backs. They're in a tie in the NL West. Or actually, they're in a tie in the... They broke the tie because they won. They broke the tie with the San Francisco Giants. So they're on top of the NL West with that 4-1 win over the D-backs. And good for Puig with the big hit. He's a little bit of our daily salute. A lot of people on hand to watch him on an Easter Sunday. Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
This is Bill Brown, Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, unfunded entitlements, looming Obamacare, the death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you are concerned about maintaining your purchasing power, consider this. Gold and silver are up 497% in 13 years. Call me, 800-686-2237, extension 332. Together we can discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Analysts agree the dollar's problems are increasing. Call me, Bill Brown, 800-686-2237 at extension 332, and we'll discuss your option of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar collapses. Call me, Bill Brown, at Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237, extension 332.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
It was long ago, seems like yesterday. Saw you standing in the rain.
Welcoming back Jeff Atticott to the show, terrorism expert. He is the director of the Center for Terrorism Law, St. Mary's University School of Law in San Antonio. Izzy in Missouri, I hope you're listening. I think, Jeff, Izzy is one of your biggest fans. She loves it when you're on. She likes it. She says, Jeff, he pulls no punches. And speaking of pulling no punches, boy, I'll tell you, some of your posts are just, I mean, all your posts really to me are dead on. But you talk about why the Crimea can control its own destiny and become part of Russia. Some people see that and go, what's he talking about? Explain what you think the role should be for the United States in this situation that we've got going on now in the peninsula.
Well, from a national perspective, you know, we have to do what's best for our country, and I'm a nationalist. I don't really care about, you know, the international poo-poo, so to speak, of the far left that always are concerned with what other countries think about us. From a national interest, Ukraine has not attacked us. They haven't attacked another country. They've obviously got civil unrest. They've got issues within their own nation. We've had the same process in our own great history. We had a thing called the Declaration of Independence, where the people decided that we wanted to break away from a particular government that we found distasteful. We have the right, the God-given right, according to our Declaration of Independence, to form a new nation. And that's exactly what we did. So if the individuals in that part of Ukraine, the Crimea, vote to join another nation or create their own country, they certainly have the right to do so.
Yeah, and, it's great the way you point that out about the Declaration of Independence, because all we keep hearing from the White House, from Obama, is that this is breaking international law. But that simply isn't true, is it?
No, not necessarily. It's not true at all. Again, it's called self-determination. When in the course of human events, governments are formed by the consent of the people, and if the people no longer consent, they have the right to break away. And this is a case of them breaking away. They're not trying to overthrow the government in Kiev. They're simply saying that we no longer think that you represent our interests. We have grievances, and we want to break away. And in this case, they want to break away and join with Russia. They have the God-given right. If it was good enough for our founders, then it should be good enough for everybody else in the world. We can't say, well, it's good enough for us, but nobody else can do it. That doesn't make sense. And President Obama, you know, obviously has a very shallow understanding of the roots of this country.
Yeah, the as you watch this, too, and you see what's happening with the European Union, it seems to me, and I could be wrong about this, but reading this, they're talking about the money they're raising to give to the Ukrainians and all that kind of stuff, Jeff, but it seems to me like the European Union is trying to sort of back around this. They're kind of caught in the middle of this. Am I right?
Well, I think so, yes. I mean, it's no one's going to go to war over what's occurring in Ukraine. And no one's going to impose heavy economic sanctions on Russia. Russia's not Libya. They are a major superpower. And, if you want to, you know, fall on your sword over this and start a new Cold War, in earnest, then that's the way to do it. And the Europeans aren't going to do that. They're too dependent on Russia. And again, Russia has not attacked another country. They were invited in. They came in to protect their own ethnic population, Russians that are there at the invitation. The parliament voted unanimously in the Crimea to have a referendum and to rejoin Russia. Now it's going to the people. So the people make that determination. And if they decide they want to go with Russia, then I see no violation of international law.
What does this say about also the president and how he's perceived internationally now, especially after what's happened the last couple of years, the things that you and I have talked about?
Well, you know, the naivete all started when he got the Nobel Peace Prize after being in office for 24 hours and doing nothing. And the one thing he has done is nothing. Every issue that he's touched, from Iraq, where it's falling apart, to Afghanistan, where we're leaving in defeat, to Syria, to Libya, to North Africa, to Russia, our relationships with China, North Korea. He has no success stories, either domestically with his policies nor in terms of national security. It's, you know, it's quite sad that the United States has lost a lot of our standing, because, you know, what other countries respond to is the application of violence or the threat of lawful violence. And of course, when we rattle our sword now, it's about the size of a butter knife, and it intimidates nobody in terms of getting them to do or to refrain from doing anything. So we are simply a paper tiger under this administration.
Yeah. And then you mix in, too, always the United Nations, but you even clearly point this out. They can't get involved in the middle of this, with Russia clearly being part of the Security Council, correct?
That's correct, and that's why the United Nations is another reason why it's a worthless organization. During the Cold War, nothing ever got done because the Soviets were one of the, you know, the members of the Permanent Security Council and the Chinese Communists. So we had a brief little window of opportunity in the 90s when we had a couple of resolutions that got through, but particularly with President Obama in his Libya escapade, when he got the Security Council to approve a no-fly zone, and then broke his word and started attacking targets on the ground through quote-unquote NATO, well, you know, the Russians and the Chinese aren't going to approve any type of Security Council use of force anywhere in the world with that type of track record.
Yeah. What's your take? I mean, this is off topic of Russia and that situation, but just because so many eyes are on this, what's happening with this Malaysian airliner that's missing and the whole passport thing, the two people with the fake passport. And I know this can be a lot of different things and we don't know at this point, but what's your gut tell you on that?
Well, you know, the number one target for radical Islamic extremism has always been airplanes. We've had cases where planes have gone down before. The one in Egypt that the pilot basically crashed into the ground, and the media tried to cover it up. Our first clue was when he was shouting as he crashed the plane into the ground, Allah Akbar, over and over and over again. We don't have enough information. We have two individuals that bought, you know, one-way tickets with cash, and no red alarms went off. That's very disturbing. And so we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But Malaysia is a Islamic nation, and there's radical Islamic extremists in Malaysia aplenty.
Yeah, boy, that certainly is true, no doubt about that. Another thing that we talked about a lot, and I'll throw this in here too, is because you had thoughts on this, Benghazi keeps, you know, bubbling up, coming back up over again. Are we ever really going to know the A, B, C, and D of this situation that happened there with the death of the ambassador and three others?
Not with our current news media, not until this administration is out of office, and it might come out at some point. But, of course, Hillary Clinton has an interest in keeping a lid on the truth. What I do know is that we could have got air assets there in time to make a difference. And when we were told that, well, you know, we couldn't distinguish who to shoot at. No, you just shoot at everything within a two-block radius around the embassy and level it. That sends a signal to people that do not mess with our ambassador or with our embassy. And if there's collateral damage, then that's simply the way it goes. And these groups, these totalitarian groups will understand that. But, of course, we wring our hands and worry about what countries will think about us. Well, when you don't use force, when you have the right to use force, they think a great deal about you in terms of being vacillating and weak and do-nothings.
So in that perception, vacillating and weak, whoever the next person is that steps into the White House, how important is it, do you think, for them to stand much, much taller than what we've seen, obviously? Is there a way to get that back? Because, you know, it's one of those hills that you can roll down, and all of a sudden the United States just keeps getting further and further away from what it once was.
Well, it's going to take, you know, opportunities where we can use force in a logical way and then to use that force, because that's what gets the attention of these regimes. There was a time when the American flag was such that, you know, nobody dared mess with the American flag. And that time has passed. Doesn't mean it can't come back again, but we need to put our emphasis on protecting our people and using force when necessary when those people are threatened.
Yeah. All right, and finally, Jeff, last question, bring it back around to the situation with what Putin's doing, what's happening there with the referendum. Do you think the referendum just goes off as on the 16th without a lot of problems, or do you think there's some problems?
I think it's going to go off, and I'm confident based on, you know, what my sources say, that it will be an overwhelming vote to secede and to join Russia.
Yeah, because, again, that also goes to the population, right? A lot of the population there, that's exactly what they want.
That's right. And, of course, Ukraine's not a stable country. Russia has more stability. And, again, the parliament voted unanimously to secede, basically.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Atticott, St. Mary's University School of Law. How's things in San Antonio?
Well, they're doing good. You know, not as cold as it is up north, but we're surviving the global warming as well.
I love that. Jeff Atticott, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye-bye.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
The next 30 seconds could save your life or that of someone you love. The Peacekeeper Mini by Tigerlite is the latest in high-tech self-defense. Combining the number one rated Tigerlite with the amazing new Bluetooth GPS crowd alert technology, there is nothing like it. Endorsed by top police, military, and self-defense experts. Pre-order now at one-third the retail price at Indiegogo.com. Search Peacekeeper Mini.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Time just moves so slowly when it comes to what's happening in this Russia situation. And now we're seeing burned cars. There was a big roadblock at an area in the Ukraine, Slavinsk. And what happened there is now the same thing that's been going on, is the massive tensions. Is we've got more and more troops there, and you've got, after the annexation of the Crimea region, you have Moscow saying, well, you know, here's the deal. Since there's a lot of unrest around the country, we feel like we need to be there to help out. We need to help out, give them a push to the other side. So Sunday over the weekend was pretty brutal. You had a lot of pro-Russian groups that were in this one area that started to attack. They came under massive attack with the roadblock. So you had three or four cars that went to the roadblock that then they opened fire on the barricades, the people that were behind it. And this is the latest pro-Russia deal that's happened. Six people were killed in the shootout, and trying to keep this, you know, to contain them has been such a tough thing. The pro-Russian leaders say that, you've got people that were occupying the state security building in the town. They've been there for a week. And, you know, so this is where there's all this conflict that's coming in. people taking over buildings and the pro-Russian protesters like that at the roadblock and opening fire, burned out cars. This is a scene that's starting to pop up all over the Ukraine. And then a lot of denials, and then Putin will say, you know, we can't have this sort of thing happen. And I think the dream is, let's take the Ukraine and make it become part of the Soviet Union again. And he goes further and further every single day. So who knows where this all ends up? And the United States, with the diplomatic measures that they're pushing, it's to reduce whatever the tension is in the Ukraine. It's not working. Joe Biden is who you send to the Kiev. He's there. And he's going to meet with a whole bunch of different leaders, not Putin, though, but everybody else. And that's going to do something? I don't think so. I think the Russians are going to do whatever they want to do. I mean, seriously, mysterious shootings, the pro-Russian militants, it's awful. I mean, really, it's awful what's happened on these country roads in the eastern Ukraine. And I think we're just going to keep hearing more and more stories like that. All right. Some of you actually wanted to talk about Russia. I've got a full mailbag, so let's go and check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Slam and Sammy, who says, Kate, 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 I promise I'm going to call Miss Talking to You on the air. I've been so busy and my situation has flipped around. I'm working different hours, but I do download your stuff from the network website. And listen, and I'll tell you, I think Putin is on a mad, wacky journey to just completely annihilate anyone who's not pro-Russia in the Ukraine. What is the next target there? I think he's being pretty ambitious. Take out a map and look at the Ukraine and get ready, because he's going to continue to do it. Yeah, and, you know, some people think that we kind of gave the green light to Putin to do it by just coming up with these sanctions that aren't really unbelievably tough for Russia to handle. It seemed like it was going to be that way, but it hasn't been that way. So the Russians have infiltrated, you know, the special forces into the Ukraine for a while now, for the past couple of weeks and months, and I think they're creating the instability. It's pretty obvious they're doing that. And the intervention is followed by, all of a sudden, the disappearances of the opposition leaders, the potential leaders. They're just gone all of a sudden. And then you see the hammer and sickle flags. Whoops. You're gone. Just like that. So there's no peace on the horizon there. I don't think so. And what's going to happen? Hey, what about natural gas? What's going to happen there? Europe's going to have to switch what they do with natural gas, what the sourcing is, because it has to be away from Russia. So the U.S. is going to have to allow natural gas exports, and Canada and the U.S., they're going to have to do something to juice the stack, right? They're going to have to induce private folks to build the liquid natural gas facilities that make it possible to even handle the exportation. That's what's going to happen, because that's what will be lost in this. The Europeans are the ones who are really, 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 really caught in this. There's no question about that. All right, let's move on to another one. And this one is from Larry, who says, Kate, I hope you had a fabulous Easter with your family. Easter always feels like a great time to me, not only because Jesus is risen, but it is sort of a cleanse, not just spiritually, just all the way around. It feels like a cleanse to me, a whole renewal of hope and all those kinds of things that make you gravitate toward positivity. One can only hope, because if you look at what's happening around the world, I'll tell you what, you would have many reasons to not be optimistic. But that's why I like you, and that's why I like America Tonight, because you talk about all sorts of things. It's not just down and dirty negative. Thank you very much. All right, so of course, yeah, if you look hard enough, you don't even have to look that hard. There would be reasons, like the big news about the drones over the weekend. Although if these Al-Qaeda targets were hit and there's not a lot of collateral damage, I'm saying thumbs up to that, because Yemen is just a hornet's nest for this. I mean, they're trying so hard to do whatever they can, I think, to cut off as many heads as they can, because what ultimately is the goal? To get rid of the Western ways. So the U.S. State Department has tried to do all kinds of things besides, obviously, we see what's happening on the drone side, which isn't the State Department, but the State Department, they're focusing on social media and trying to bring in all the extremists. They're trolling for the extremists so that they can find them. So between the drone strikes in Yemen, where, you know, we'll see how many fall, and trying to hook some in website-wise and social media-wise, maybe they'll be able to weed out some more of the snakes in the garden, if you will. Okay, let's take this one from Carmen, who says, Kate, I have a big question for you. I was wondering, I've heard you talk about sports, and I know you used to cover sports, and you cover politics, and I wonder, because I've heard you talk about Philadelphia, is that where you are from, or are you from someplace else, California or someplace else? Boy, I'll tell you what, it used to be throw my golf clubs in the car and take off to whatever the land, wherever I was going next, wherever the career was taking me next. And and this is what I like doing America Tonight, because I've lived in all of your backyards. I've lived in every section of the country. So from the Midwest to the Southeast to the South, the Southwest to growing up in the East and living in the West. I've lived in California. It's been a very cool journey for sure. And I grew up just outside of Philadelphia in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And of course, our satellite facility now is in Dallas, Texas. And I couldn't be happier. In the Midwest, I met some great people. And along the way, I certainly have had the privilege of doing that. So there's a sort of a long answer to the question. I've lived in a lot of different places, to be sure, and enjoyed all of them. Every single place I've lived, the people have something that they're really super proud of. Sometimes it has to do with food. Sometimes it has to do with history. And sometimes it has to do with a combination of the two. Now, I did live in Las Vegas, and I'm not sure. Sin City had a lot of things to offer, but food wasn't really one of them, because it was like buffet land. And it was all about the comps and the whole idea of that. You could get it whatever you wanted at any time. Any day, it didn't matter. There were no clocks on the wall, if you know what I mean. Okay, let's move on to this one. This one from Jake in Austin. I think Jake has the last word. Kate, what's the deal with the Nevada rancher? I love that people were backing up Bundy. How cool that they traveled to his ranch to try to help him out. The Bureau of Land Management, couldn't they have just tried to work it out? Give me a break. It certainly sounds like they weren't trying to do that, and it's emblematic of what the problem is between the bureaucrats and just the plain old people of these United States. Well, the Bundy supporters definitely came out in droves, and they say the federal government just smashed him, you know, just trampled all over his rights with the whole grazing thing with his cattle. But not all the ranchers in Nevada are supportive of Bundy. Not all of them are. And it's, you know, it goes to that tug of war over the land, where the Bundy family really had access to land forever and a day. And now all of a sudden it's, sorry, we are using this land for something else, and you owe us grazing fees. And, you know, we've capitalized on this. In Nevada, I was looking this up the other day, and I just saw it somewhere on the web, too, to verify it. 87% of the state is owned by the federal government, the land that we're talking about. And the Bureau of Land Management oversees like 245 million acres of public lands that are mostly, it makes sense, west of the Mississippi River. I don't think the Bundy thing is over by any stretch of the imagination. Stay with us. Thanks for the emails.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Over Easter weekend, a lot of people decided they were going to go and catch Heaven Is For Real. How about that? So 21.5 million is what it raked in, and that's pretty big for a faith-based movie. And it was a perfect time, I think, to release it. But the movie stars Greg Kinnear, and I think it's supposed to be a pretty good. It's supposed to be a pretty good movie, actually. And it was good enough that it, besides the, you know, the dollar figure, because that's what they look at with the box office with Hollywood, it finished third. Captain America was number one, Rio two, and these are two popular movies and that have been in the theater now for a couple of weeks. And Heaven Is For Real, so it made its money because it was made on a budget of $12 million, and that's nothing you blink in Hollywood and you spend that kind of movie. So this year you've had, if you're keeping score, you had Noah, Son of God, God's Not Dead, all made it into the top 20, and then Heaven is for Real. And then you've got Ridley Scott. He's got a movie coming out in December, I think it is, Exodus, Gods and Kings, and that's another faith-based movie. But so you know, Heaven is for Real is based on a book about a four-year-old boy who said he visited heaven and met relatives and God when he was having emergency appendectomy surgery. So this struck a nerve as a book. It struck a nerve with a lot of people. People liked it. And then turning it into a movie, obviously, it's done okay. So how about that? And, of course, Noah, we know it's loosely based on the whole story, the Genesis story. And that's done pretty well. That's even though some people are not happy with the portrayal, it's done pretty well. You know, it's interesting. I was looking this up, and I think people know this by now, but if you just went into whatever search engine you use and said, you know, faith-based movies and how well do they do, in the last 5 years, you know how many have been made? 26 movies that they would call, like, Christian films. I was surprised by that. 26 movies. And that would include, like, The Chronicles of Narnia, which is the C.S. Lewis fantasy novels, because they say there's, like, a Christian theme on that, so that would be included in that. And I think one of the biggest all-time movies was back in 2004, The Passion of the Christ, and that movie really raked in big money, over $600 million. And they made that for something like $30 million, and over $600 million. So how about that? It's interesting. And the like I said, this movie is supposed to be pretty good because the book got a lot of accolades for the book. You know, the whole Eyes of a Child and that whole thing. So $12 million pulling in that much money. It may be that we'll see more of this, too, because, you know, how many theaters are there in the United States? 5,700, just a little over 5,700. And let's face it, it's about profit. And so if there's a profit in it, then they're gonna go for it. They're gonna go for the different themes. And there certainly was a profit this time around in a lot of different ways, obviously, because it worked out for that movie. And this is just the beginning week, so it could end up making a whole lot more than that. Hopefully over the weekend you had a chance to spend some time with your family, just hang out. Maybe you didn't necessarily do anything dramatic or exciting. A lot of times people take some extra days off and travel with their family to see other family. And it's of all the times of the year for the extended family, certainly Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I would say Easter falls in there for lots of people, too, because it's the whole, it's spring, and so it's further away. You're into the new year and the celebrations and whatnot, and that draws a lot of families together, especially if they live a little bit closer. I mean, you know, when there's more distance, it might be much more difficult, but definitely when they live closer, that's when people end up having a whole table full of people eating whatever it is they're eating, turkey, ham, you know, whatever it might be. That still certainly didn't stop the talking heads on Sunday. And besides the Easter theme and Christianity and that kind of thing, and the Pope's message remembering the abandoned people, because that was his message on Good Friday, that you have to remember the immigrants, the poor, the sick, the elderly, the unemployed, the people who are down, basically. That was what he called the abandoned people. And that was part of the Easter service, too. That was kind of the theme, I guess, this time around, all the wrongs, the economic crisis and job insecurity and dismissals and what do you call an economy that rules rather than serves, and financial speculation and suicide among business. He really went deep. Suicide among business owners, corruption, and the loss of local industry and whatnot. So that was it was pretty interesting how deep Francis went on how he felt about remembering the abandoned people, and even specifically talking about people that, of all kinds, not just the people you would think that are down on their luck, but even beyond that. So besides talking about those themes and what Easter meant, because you saw that on some of the political shows, there were other things that were talked about too. And the Ukraine is front and center, one of the big ones, because what ultimately is the United States going to do about this? Nothing or something or what? So two members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Sunday said, let's beef up sanctions against Russia. Let's cut the crap and let's include petrochemical and banking industries. The banking industries would really affect Russia. Remember, we had somebody on from Moscow who told us that. And so far, Russia has ignored the United States and Europe, frankly, in any effort to try to get them to back off with their confrontation with any of the cities in the Ukraine. So Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, who was on Meet the Press, said, you know, we've helped in a lot of ways to create the problem that's there in the first place, that's existed. And to leave them alone like that, we're leaving them alone, is just unconscionable that we would do that. And you go from Corker to Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, who says, I think the time is now to ratchet up our sanctions, whether it's on the petrochemical companies, like he's saying, or the Russian banks. So it's interesting. The Republican, the senior Republican member, and another committee member on that same committee agreed, Democrat and Republican, that you got to ratchet up the sanctions on them. And if Russia gets away with it, they think that there's a potential that a NATO ally is probably next, and that there's going to be a lot of pain, economic style, to Europe as a result of this. And, you know, the president said weeks ago that they're prepared to take some kind of further action against Russia if the diplomatic efforts don't pay off, if they to destabilize this conflict fails, then something else will happen. You got Joe Biden, who's in Kiev, which, I mean, you send Biden in this kind of a situation? I don't get that. Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, says that we're looking for ways to reassure our allies of our commitment to the collective defense of this. What's it going to look like 1 week from now? Next week's going to be pretty darn interesting, I'll say that. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.